ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 515, is Jiva. It's a well-known word for anyone who studies Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's books. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, for instance, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We might be surprised to learn that one of the names of Vishnu is Jiva, because generally there's a lot of emphasis in the Vaishnava Siddhanta of the difference between Jiva and Ishvara. In fact, Madhvacharya in particular, he's famous for the Dvaitavad. Do you see him with two fingers? It's two, not one, two. And he emphasized that by saying there are differences. There is bheda, pancha bheda, five. There are five basic. Well, he analyzed differences in two ways. Swajatiya, vijatiya. It means within and within one category and between categories. For instance, within the category of humans, there are different humans. Within the one body, there is different organs and so on. That's swajatiya. And vijatiya, there's the difference between humans and cows, for instance. But the panchabhed he analyzed, there's there's difference between, most importantly, between Ishvara and Jiva, and Ishvara and Jara, Jiva and Jiva, and Jiva and Jara. So the difference between Ishvara, the Supreme, and Jiva, the living being, between different Jivas, between different manifestations of Jara, that which is mundane, material, and difference between the Jiva and that which is material. So this is a very important point, especially in regards to the widespread misconception marketed by Sri Shankaracharya, that the Jiva and Ishvara are the same. Jiva and Shiva. Jiva, because the idea that Jiva becomes Shiva. Soham. I am he. So this idea, Srila Prabhupada says, has caused havoc in the spiritual life of India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in discussing with the Mayavadis of Varanasi, he said that to try to equate Jiva with Ishvara is the greatest offense. But here we see that Jiva is a name of Ishvara. So maybe it's true after all. Well, in one sense it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't deny that. He didn't totally deny that Jiva is the same as Ishvara. But to say that he's wholly non-different from him, well, at the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, analyzing the verse, this beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra, the solemn purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is from the very beginning stated to be to reject all kinds of, fully reject, not just reject, but fully reject, all kinds of cheating in the name of Dharma. And in analyzing that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that Taramadhe Mokhavancha Kaitav Pradhan, among all kinds of cheating in the name of religion, The worst is the desire for liberation. Well, I'll discuss this more as we get onto the name Mukunda, which is just coming up in this same verse of Vishnu Sahasranama. So, moksha. So, what is cheating religion? Dharma artha kama moksha, the whole subject of the Vedas. So, moksha, the highest among the chari purushartha, the four aims of human life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that dharma, among all the different kinds of cheating that this refers to, the chief one is the desire for liberation, because jaha hoite Krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. Because due to that desire, then Krishna bhakti becomes vanished. It can't take place. So this name, jiva. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts that the jiva is in quality one with the Supreme Lord. He is Satchitananda, the jiva is Satchitananda, Ishvara is also Satchitananda. But there is quantity, there is difference. He is Vibhu, he is very great, and we are Anu, we are very small. So this is a name of great import. Jiva, I didn't even discuss what's the meaning of the name. It'll be quite clear to people who are familiar with Indian languages. It means living. Jivan means life. Jivi means living being. Or jiva means living being. So jiva means a living being. So it's a name of great import. First of all, it's a name of great import because we should understand that he's a jiva, but he's not the same as all the other jivas. We're discussing Vishnu Sahasranam. We're not discussing why Vishnu, why he has 1,000 names, actually unlimited names. Why not anyone else? Why don't I have 1,000? You could make up 1,000 names for any normal jiva, but they couldn't be the names of Vishnu. It's like Mukunda. That's a name just coming up, the giver of liberation, which is one of the meanings of the name Mukunda. Well, that's true of Vishnu. It's not true of everyone. It's only of Vishnu. The next name is coming up in this verse. After Jiva comes Vinayata, which means the savior. Well, someone could be called the savior. So now Donald Trump is to be the new president of America. So some people think he's going to be the savior. Let's make America great again. Whenever a new politician comes in, they think, great, he's the one who's going to save us all. And of course, they never do. So they all disappoint. They're all disappointing, one after the other. They disappoint. Whatever they promise, they don't fulfill. They may fulfill some of them. But they can't really save us. They can't save us. No politician can save us from birth and death. So Vishnu can do that. So someone may save us, it might be drowning in a river, someone jumps in and saves us, or might save us from poverty by some economic measures, the politicians, they say they'll do that. But the savior in the fullest sense of the term is Vishnu. So all these names are particularly relevant to him. Jiva, the name, means the living one. We're living because he's living. So he's a jiva, but he's the supreme, just like the word is a purusha, which is a word which is used in Bhagavad Gita synonymously with the word atma, But it, just like the word Atma can be used for the ordinary living being or for the supreme living being. So in the same way, that, although generally Atma is used for the individual living being. So the word Purush, it can be used in either for the individual living being, as in Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam Bhuktritve Hetu Ruchate, the living being in material nature. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Janguran Karnam Guna Sangosya Sadasadyo Nijanvasu. That he's situated in material nature. He's the cause of his own happiness and distress due to his interaction with the modes of material nature. And he finds himself in better or worse situations. But the word Purush is also in the very same chapter ascribed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, particularly in his features, Paramatma. So this word jiva is almost always used in relation to the individual living being, but we should know that the source of all life is Vishnu, and it's very important that he is alive. He's a person. There's an idea that the Supreme Absolute is impersonal, and it's almost like saying he's not alive. That there's is no, just consciousness, that's all, but nothing to see, do, taste, touch, smell, feel, nowhere to go, nothing to it, just consciousness with nothing to be conscious of in particular. So it's almost stripped of all the lakshanams, all the characteristics of personality. So he's a living being, so he's real person. Not just some idea or the, he is inherently a living person. There's another idea that Krishna is a manifestation of the impersonal. That the person comes from the impersonal. In other words, the person's not very important, but no. He is, his personality is what's important. He appears in various avatars, various living forms to execute pastimes. He's not some fantasy figure. He's real. The Supreme is not merely some force. He is the forceful. There is Shakti and Shaktiman. He is the Shaktiman. He is the source or the of all energy. So he's a living person, which means that just like we are jivas. We have desires, aspirations, likes and dislikes, friends. We may have enemies. He doesn't have enemies, but there are some who cast himself as his enemies. What's the most important thing for the jiva, for everyone? Well, that's a question that philosophers may ask. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is to love. So he's a living being, means he loves, he wants love, just like we want love. We talk about bhakti and prem, but if Krishna is just an idea, then there's no bhakti and there's no prem. It's this again, the Mayavadi idea. You do bhakti, and then when you become advanced, then you kick it off. You don't need it anymore. But that's not love. That I loving someone for a purpose. You might marry someone who's rich. You have a purpose. It's of course, in the in civilized society, marriage is not just for this. What is this word? This nebulous idea of love, that it brings its duty, responsibility, is there. When someone may marry for the sake of getting something, I'll marry someone rich, then I will be benefited. But there's no love in that. That's the special feature of the residents of Vrindavan. They are attracted to Krishna not because he is supremely powerful. He can give them everything. They don't want anything but him. There's no question of any personal desire in their relationship with him, because they don't see him as someone who can materially benefit us. They think we are to benefit him. We are to feed him, clothe him. So it's completely selfless love. So that's the highest love, where the devotee just wants to please Krishna. There's no personal calculation in that. So if we try to interpret this, just like the Mayavadis, they want to try to show that Krishna is a big, important Hindu god, they may reason, so, but he has all these immoral pastimes, so we have to interpret them and make, it's an analogy for this and that, and in this way they want to say, well, Krishna's not really a person, and it's all just metaphorical to show some moral principle. Yeah, they lost the idea altogether. He is a living person who interacts with living persons, and life means to love him. That's the real thing. Jivanam sarva-bhuteshu, he says in Bhagavad Gita, that he is the life of all living beings. In the Purusha Sukta also, we say all the living beings entered the form, all the different demigods and everything, but it wasn't until the Purush entered, Vishnu entered, that it came, the universe came to life. So he's the life of all living beings, he's the life of the whole universe. One of his names, Jagajivan, he's the life of the whole universe. Let's see what the commentators say. Sri Vaishnav sub-commentators say that he helps the devotees, the Bhagavatas, keep away from committing sinful activities and bringing about their ruin, and instead makes them lead a life of bliss by doing service to him. He's explaining, the interpretation by the Rama, Parashara Bhatta. He gives true life to his devotees. Yeah, life in this material world is not life. It's like being dead. It's not real life, just imitation life. Sometimes a cat, sometimes a dog, sometimes a god in heaven. It's all imaginary life. Real life is with Krishna. So Krishna gives that real life. He's the source of... He gives life. Both he's the principle of every jiva, and he sustains life. The whole material world is a world in which life is sustained by life. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being has to feed on another. And there's what is called the food chain, or what some call the food network. Every living beings are feeding on one another. This is all set up by Krishna. So he is the life of all that lives, jivanam sarva bhuteshu. There's another piece. Oh, I have it right here. In the Bhagavatam, there's a chapter which is in the 11th canto, when Krishna speaks the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. There's a chapter which parallels that of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Vibhuti Yoga chapter, in which Krishna speaks of various manifestations by which he may be understood, in which he says, Sukshmanam apyaham jiva, among all that which is subtle, he is the jiva. It means the smallest of the small. You can go on looking in your atom and then subatomic particles and waves and this and that, but you won't find the jiva. The scientists may say, well, we don't believe in any soul because we didn't see it in our microscope. Okay, go to the back of the class. The first thing to understand in spiritual understanding, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo, this jiva cannot be understood by any material means. So you won't, you can get the best microscope and you'll never find it, the jiva. Because even as described, Keshagra Shatabhagasya Kalpitasya Shatasya, if you divide the tip of a hair into 10,000 parts, even you can measure that in how many angstroms that is, but you won't find. The idea is that he's too small for you to see, for anyone to, he's not subject to material vision. That's especially true of Bhagavan, what to speak of the ordinary jiva. He is adhokshaja, not subject to be seen by material senses. And what to speak of him? Even the devotees can be called adhokshaja. Nanda Maharaj addressed Garga Rishi, who came to his adhokshaja. You move about in the world, but you can't be understood by ordinary senses. So that's jiva. He's living the most subtle and therefore the most difficult to... What's the most difficult thing to understand in this world is the jiva. And well, we are all jivas, but we don't understand that we are jivas. We think that we're the body. So we don't understand our very self. All big universities studying all this, this and that, so many things. They don't even understand themselves. So what kind of university is that? They don't understand even who they are. But it's the most difficult thing to understand as long as we think that this external knowledge is actual knowledge. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Joro Vidya jato mayar bhaibhav tomara bhajane badha anitya sangsare moha janamaya jivke kare gadha. That this mundane knowledge is simply a display of the illusory energy, and it's a great obstacle in worshipping Krishna. In this world where everything is temporary, it increases the illusion. Already we're in illusion, and it makes the jiva into an ass. So to understand even the ordinary jiva is very difficult. What to speak of the supreme jiva, who is Bhagavan? Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the commentary that he gives life to the devotees who are distressed by his absence by giving them his nectarian spiritual association. As far as the devotees are concerned, life without Krishna, it's not life at all. Krishna gives us life. We can just imagine having taken, well, we don't want to imagine, but I can think of myself that my life, in this life, we've had so many lifetimes, this life before I came to Krishna consciousness, before I had the opportunity to associate with devotees, it doesn't seem like life, it seems like some kind of dream in the past. It's not real. It's not life. And we can't think of going back to that. It's like walking. How can you go back to some... There's no question. There's real life is with Krishna. Everything else is just like... What is it? It's like being a character in some old movie that someone threw in the trash can long ago. The film. It has no no meaning, or no value. No one's in, who's interested. There's nothing of any value there. So Krishna gives life to his devotees, and sometimes he puts them into distress by being separated from them, just so that they can feel they can feel such bliss on as he comes back. Just like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they thought that Krishna was dead when he was in the coils of the Kaliya snake. Oh, and then they thought, well, they were just going to die on the spot. The poison of from the snake, which had poisoned the whole area of the river, that Krishna had brought them back to life. So in this way, he gave the boys and the cows life. But they felt that anyway they're going, if Krishna's killed by this snake, then we shall also die. But then Krishna gave them life again by showing that he's not dead at all. Otherwise, without Krishna, they thought there's no use to live. And we should also feel, what's the use? What are we going to do? Life without, it's like suicide. What is that? There's nothing. There's nothing to do outside of Krishna consciousness. It's the same old thing we've been doing in millions of lifetimes, just meaningless. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, all the living beings become almost dead. And they can only remain alive in the hope that Krishna will come back. So life, Krishna is living, Krishna is jiva. Okay, Hare Krishna. Finished for now.